Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Mark Angel, who's with an organization called Help You Out of Debt. And we're going to be talking about the plight of so many people out there who are head over heels in debt to the credit card companies. Now, certainly as we're looking at what's happening financially in our country, we noticed that in April, 247,000 homes went into foreclosure. There are millions of homes that are in the process of foreclosure across America. And, of course, there is a massive bubble. There was the housing bubble, of course, as it imploded, and so many of the people had homes that they really couldn't afford, and those homes were foreclosed on. And then, of course, when they were sold, many times at auction, they were sold for far less than the amount of money that was owed on them, and so basically that began to cause dropping housing prices in many parts of the country. Why housing prices have dropped and dropped dramatically, which of course means that the other homes that are there are worth even less than they were, and many people now, even though that they're able to make their monthly payments, they're making payments on a mortgage that is far greater than the value of the home that the mortgage secures, and so some of those people are beginning to move away from their homes too, and this is happening in some of the areas where the prices have gone up so high and have dropped so dramatically. So that's the first bubble that we face today. The second bubble we face is the debt bubble, and that would be the credit card debt, the student debt, the automotive debt, all the other debts that are out there. And then the third, of course, is the derivative bubble, and when that one goes down, why, the whole basis of the financial system of the world begins to go down, because there's it's estimated between $600 or $700 trillion in derivative debt, and there's, well, of course, it was Warren Buffett who said, derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. And I think that's what's happening. Well, we're going to be talking this evening about the people with credit card debt, because that's what Mark Angel and the company he works with, HelpYouOutOfDebt.com, is involved in. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Dr. Stan. Thanks for inviting us to join you and your listeners this evening.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about your company and what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, one of the reasons that we founded HelpYouOutOfDebt.com was to help those people who have run into circumstances where the mounting debt that they've accumulated over the years, because the banks and credit card companies that are out there have been very liberal in their ability to offer people, you know, these unsecured lines of credit with no basic rules behind them, very minimal payments, and we'll probably talk about some of those things and what it means to your listeners as we go through this evening. But what we're here to do is help those people who aren't sleeping at night thinking about their credit card debt, or may have gotten into some circumstances, divorce, medical circumstances, losses of jobs, things of that nature, escalating payments, say, on their mortgage payments, where they've used their credit cards to rob Peter and pay Paul to survive in this crazy economic times we're in right now.
All right, fine. I should mention, of course, that Sydney, Help You Out of Debt, will be helping to support Radio Liberty. We think it's a great idea, though, that they're involved in. People need help in times like this, because the average individual has gotten trapped. They got into their credit cards when the interest rate was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6%, and now it's up to 25 to 30%. We'll be right back here. Go right ahead there, Mark.
Well, you talk about people having these low interest rates, et cetera. A lot of credit card companies, one of the ways that they lure people in to do business with them or offer rates as low as 0% APR to get them to transfer balances or use their credit to acquire TVs, go on vacations, and things like that. What people don't realize is those rates are very short-term, and they're purposely put out there to lure them in. If they aren't able to make the minimum payments along the way, or they miss a payment, or they're late, or along those lines, during the course of that offer period, the credit card companies come back in and change the terms that were originally offered to them for basically what's in the credit card agreements that the people receive at the time that the offer is there. Nobody seems to read the fine print that's out there.
All right, fine. And, Chris, so many people then really are getting trapped with these exorbitant interest rates, and then, of course, there are fines and penalties and all sorts of things that people have no idea, they don't understand. But once they get into real debt and they don't get that paid off and they don't have enough money, and especially with the rising fuel costs and the rising cost of food and other necessities, even many things that are being imported into this country from China and elsewhere, they're going up in price too as the dollar falls. People just don't have the money to pay off their debt. That's the big problem they face today, isn't it, Mark?
Yes, and the thing is, credit's been made so easy, easily available to people today, Dr. Stan, especially with food prices rising and oil prices rising. Instead of going cash out of pocket, or that people would normally go into a gas station, you know, maybe put $20 worth of gasoline in their car, $20 doesn't go very far today. So they've got to, instead of reaching in their pocket to pay cash and walk up to the window to do that, they're going out there and using their credit cards and just racking up more and more debt and digging a deeper and deeper hole for themselves. And then when they reach the point where those balances are intolerable, or, you know, when it comes to the end of the month and they've got to decide whether to pay their rent or for their food or for their gas or the electric or whatever, and they don't start paying their credit cards, and those rates can escalate, like you said, to 25 or 30%, and those late fees start accumulating in there. And
now hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Mark Angel. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Mark has simply been talking about how they've gotten a lot of people lured into credit card debt by very low interest payments. And then, of course, once they're head over heels in debt and they can't make their payments, then you begin to get the late fees and the late payments, and you get, you know, the escalating, you know, interest rates. And let's imagine you're one day late in paying your bill. Well, of course, then they can slap on a 25 or 30% interest rate. In fact, I was just down recently at Sears. I wanted to buy. I bought something called, cost me $22. And the clerk said, "Wouldn't you like to get $15 off on this purchase?" And I said, "Well, sure. Well, all you got to do is take out one of our credit cards and just sign right here." Well, I looked at what it was, and a lot of fine print, but I saw the 25% interest, the 28% interest, the 29% interest, and I told him, "No, I'll just pay the $22. You keep your $15, and you keep your credit card. I'm not going to buy something here. I'm not going to take out one of your credit cards." But so many people have, and so many people have a number of credit cards, and sometimes they're borrowing on one credit card to pay off another credit card in the hope that they won't get the late fees. So pick up the story there.
Well, essentially, by design, the credit card companies induce people to, you know, take discounts. Open an account today, we'll give you 10 or 15% off, and then you don't have to make payments until tomorrow. But that's all by design. And if you, I've got a couple examples here for you this evening, where if you took a $10,000 in outstanding credit card balances, and you paid used to be the minimum, and in some instances still is, a 2% minimum, and you made the minimum payment, it would take you over 30 years to repay that debt. In that time frame, that $10,000, you would have repaid that credit card company, provided you didn't add any more on to there. over $97,000 in credit card debt.
And of course, that's the power of compound interest, isn't it?
It's the power of the compounding of the interest and paying over time. You take that same example, you know, with someone with $10,000 and they maybe make 4% of that minimum payment. It's going to take them 18 years to pay it off using 4% of it, and they're going to pay two times or a little over $20,000 back to that credit card company. So the whole purpose and design of credit card companies, which went back into the 70s, and when they moved their operations into originally South Dakota because of a Supreme Court ruling called the Marquette decision, and also later the state of Delaware also adapted those same rules. So, usury laws that used to be in effect in multiple states went by the wayside. So literally they can't, there's no really limits or usury by the banks that are available. They're allowed to charge whatever they want, and because their home base is in South Dakota, that transcends out to every state within the United States. They can charge that rate of interest because of where their home charter or where their operations are based.
And of course,
their operations up there in the late 70s and early 80s.
Well, at one time, of course, there really were, of course, laws against usury, but those laws have all been certainly dissipated and done away with.
Or there's been loopholes to get around those things for people.
And I think what people have to understand is, in the past, you could go into bankruptcy, and of course, you could get out from under your debt. That is no longer true. They knew this was going to happen. They made the plans for it 5 years ago when they got, the government, the federal government, state governments, to change their bankruptcy laws. You can't go into bankruptcy and get out from under your debt. Will actually be put into a position where the court will absolutely control you, but you're not going to be able to get rid of that debt. People have to understand that long-range planning, they knew it was going to happen, it's happened, and now we have, it's been set up to maybe up to 100 million people trapped with excessive credit card debt, and they simply don't know how to get up from underneath. Would that be an accurate statement, Mark?
Yes. I mean, the bankruptcy laws about 5 years ago were changed. For the individual, there's basically two forms of bankruptcy that they are allowed to pursue. One is Chapter 7, which would allow you to eliminate all of your debt, secured and unsecured. But when they changed the laws, if you can demonstrate that you have $100 in disposable income after paying all of the debt, and you can no longer go Chapter 7. You're forced to go into what's called Chapter 13, which is an arranged repayment program. And in Chapter 13, what they do is they look at 100% of the balances that you have to your creditors, whether that's cars, homes, credit cards, etc., and the expectation is that you pay 100% of that back. If you have that disposable income, if they can put you into a program, and typically those programs last 10 or more years, and they damage your credit long term. It reflects on people's ability to get jobs. It reflects on their abilities to, at a later date, to maybe pursue home ownership and things along those lines as far as that's concerned. And so the laws have tightened down in favor of the creditors, because they felt that people were using it and it was too easy for them to get out. Now they've made it pretty hard for people to live their lives. Basically, there's only three ways four ways that people can kind of look at a credit card or other debts. They can file bankruptcy, which is going to show on their credit card for over 10 years. They're not going to get any relief on any of the balances. They can go into credit counseling. There again, most of the credit counseling firms that were out there and credit counseling came about due to credit card companies pursuing and helping those people get into that business. And it's long term. They get no relief out of balances. They can stay the course, and as in those two illustrations I gave you earlier, they can stay the course, pay two to four times the outstanding, or actually nine times in the one instance, balances if they stay the course and make those minimum payments, provided they can, or they can pursue working with companies such as Help You Out of Debt in order to help mitigate or mediate on their behalf and get reductions between 40% and 60% of their current balances and put it into a manageable repayment stream, and we can get them out from under debt and get them into zero debt within 12 to 36 months, depending upon the circumstances of the individual, and work with them and their creditors to get their lives back.
All right, well, then how does that work? How do you actually get the people that they owe the money to, the credit card companies, to actually, give them a discount? And certainly, what are the mechanics? How does it work?
Well, essentially what we do is we ask the people to send in their credit card statement so we can review and look at the situation that they're in so we can determine whether we can actually help them. There are circumstances where we may not. We may advise people that bankruptcy may be the better course for them to take. But in those instances where we do enroll people into our programs, based on our team's experience over the last 7 years, and we have relationships with all of the major creditors in the country in negotiating down people's debt with them, we try and work with them, and one by one, kind of like if you're in a turkey shoot, work from the back end to the front end, trying to, and negotiate each individual card. And the average American probably has 6 to 8 credit cards, and we create a savings program where they put funds set aside in a trust account that build up each and every month so that we can go in and do a negotiated or mediated settlement on their behalf between them and the credit card company. And we achieve results in the neighborhood of between 40% and 60% of, or 40% to 60% on the dollar of their current outstanding balances. And it's a system that's been around for a relatively short period of time, approximately 8 years, debt settlements been around, but it's a very good form of working with the client and the credit card companies to come to a situation where both parties will be satisfied and get our clients back on track and out of debt.
Well, of course, now, what about this trust account? Who controls the trust account?
We utilize a third-party licensed bonded trust company. All funds are put into that account and held on a client's behalf until such time as we can have a large enough pool of money to start settling debt with the individual creditors. And those creditors are paid out of that pool. Our fees are paid out there as well. And our success is really dependent on the success of our clients completing the program. Statistically, over the last 7 years, our teams work with clients around the country. 80% of the people that enroll in our programs, complete the programs, come out debt-free after 36 months, and are able to reestablish themselves, reestablish credit if they want to. And in a lot of instances, we do exit polls with our clients as they come out of the programs. They don't want to take credit again. Credit can be as addictive as alcohol or drugs or any other vice that's out there because it's made so easily. You know, we make it so easy, or the banks have made it so easy for people to acquire these things. And our goal is to get people out, and then if you review our website, there's ways for where we help educate people to get their lives back together, to look at things a little bit differently. But most of the people that come out of a program don't even want to touch a credit card again.
Well, now, of course, is it a major bank who's holding the money? Who's actually holding it?
Actually, it's an actual trust company, or like an escrow company, that holds the funds. And no funds are dispersed without the knowledge and consent of the clients that we enroll in the program. When we settle or come to an agreement with a creditor that with relationship to the individual accounts we settle, we've set up with the client what we anticipate that we're going to settle their debts for, and we get them and the
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, fine. Well, our guest is Mark Angel. We're talking about the program to get people out of debt. Now, you're saying that, of course, you will actually negotiate the debts on down. Of course, aren't some of the debts actually increasing while the money's in the trust account?
They can be increasing, but once we come to an agreement with a credit card company to settle the debt, we will settle on that dollar amount, and that will be the amount that it's settled in. Once we have paid that, they will show that the account's been satisfied.
All right, fine. So what you do is you just pay off one debt at a time. How many credit cards does the average individual have?
Right now, based on current statistics, it's between 6 and 8 credit cards, and balance is $15,000 or greater.
And so these people are head over heels in debt, and certainly with rising costs, why they're having difficulty making their regular monthly payments.
Yeah, there's approximately 150 million people that have credit cards out there. There are only about 55 million people who pay their credit cards off every month. That's starting to decrease more because of the economic circumstances that are out there. The remaining people that are out there, Dr. Stan, keep balances on their credit cards, and those credit cards keep building month over month, and if they don't make their payments on time, then there can be late charges added. If there's NSF fees that are charged, if somebody exceeds their credit limit, and believe it or not, those credit card companies will allow people to exceed their credit limits because it's good for them because they can charge fees to those clients to do those things.
All right, fine. Well, now, do you use just one trust company or do you use a number of trust companies to hold the
phone? We utilize one trust company. They've been around for a long period of time.
What's the number? Yeah. What's the name of the company?
The name of the company is, I'll say, excuse me for that one, is, it's slipping my mind this evening, but they've been around for a long, long time. They're actually, if you go out to our website, it will list that company out there for you, and there's actually a link out there that explains. They've been in business for over 80 years. They hold people's money in escrow to pay real estate taxes, as well as doing our debt settlement. They're very reputable. They're a bonded company.
All right, fine. And, Chris, you do have a bond on them to make sure that they will not run off with the funds because you always worry about something like that and
sometimes
like this.
And we wouldn't put anybody in a situation. And that's one of the reasons, and people, if they're looking to work with a debt settlement company, is anybody who's going to take their money individually as opposed to having a third party hold their funds to settle the debts. That should be one very important thing that they're looking for. Anybody who sits there and says, well, you do your own self-savings program, well, that's like asking somebody to put a bottle of alcohol and say, okay, you leave that in the cabinet and you don't drink that. That's going to be your way to do that. And you can't, you know, if things are readily available people, then they won't succeed, you know, and that's the whole purpose in setting it aside in a trust account. And the other reason that you put it in a trust account is trust accounts are exempt from people filing judgments and getting those funds.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Mark Angel from the Help You Out of Debt Company. It's a debt company you've been around for 7 years now?
Our team's been settling debt for over 7 years, yes, sir.
All right, fine. Chris, this is really a relatively new field, isn't it?
Compared to bankruptcy and credit counseling, it is new, and it's only been around for about 8 years.
All right, fine. So people actually then pay the money into a trust account. The money then is taken out of the trust account to pay off a part of the balance, and many of the credit card companies will negotiate down their fees down somewhere between 40% and 60%. Is that right?
That's correct. And just to get back to you, the name of the company that the trust company that we utilize to hold people's funds is called Note World.
Note World.
And they are, you can research that company out on the website. They've been around for quite a long period, longer than the debt settlement business has been around.
All right. And so basically they are a trust company that holds funds for escrow and other accounts.
That's correct.
All right, fine. So basically, then, Chris, you know, now is the business growing? Are there more and more people taking advantage of this?
Every day there are new companies that are starting up to help people in this business. Yes, more and more people are taking advantage of it. More and more people are advertising out their knowledge of it, and the industry are out there. And some of the things that people want to be careful with when they're looking to deal with a debt settlement firm is that they are an accredited company, that they belong to a strong trade network. We belong to an organization called TASC, which is the Trade Association for Settlement Companies that does debt settlement. So anybody who's looking out there to work with somebody, and again, that's one of the things that we have on our website that we talk about. When you're considering a company, make sure you do your homework.
All right. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Mark. But this is really one of the great problems we have today, is so many Americans have very, very foolishly gotten themselves into debt, having forgotten that the Polonius advice to Laertes in one of Shakespeare's play, neither a borrower nor a lender be. Do you realize, of course, that 75% of the gross domestic product of the United States is simply buying things, it's simply purchasing things, and our manufacturing, you know, is only 22 or 23% of our gross domestic product today. We are the greatest consumer in the world. We're consuming about 80% of the world's finances, but that is coming to a close because right now, America is not only the greatest consumer in the world, we're the greatest debt a nation in the world. We have more debt than any other nation, and even more frightening is the fact that we're having to borrow at least $2.5 billion every day. Our nation is, our federal government, just to meet their regular debts. They're having to borrow $2.5 billion every single day from other countries. We're totally dependent upon other countries to buy our treasury bonds. If they do not do that, of course, what the Federal Reserve would have to do would have been just to print money and further devalue the value of our currency. And already we're beginning to see the dollar falling because, of course, they've massively increased the amount of money in circulation and credit in circulation. And it's not simply money in circulation, it's credit, the readily availability of credit. And people must understand inflation is not rising prices. Inflation is an increase in the amount of money and credit, which is reflected in the rising prices. In other words, it's like the idea that wet streets cause rain. Well, everybody knows wet streets don't cause rain. It's the rain that causes the wet streets. And rising prices do not create inflation. Inflation is created by increasing the amount of money in circulation. And, of course, when other countries stop buying all of our treasury bonds, then the Federal Reserve has no other alternative than to massively increase our currency. And we could well end up as Zimbabwe is today, with 1,000,000% a year inflation, 1,000,000% a year. Those of you who heard our interview with Peter Hammond from Frontline Ministries, and we've interviewed him 3 times, now actually 4 times, for all 4 networks we're on, with Zimbabwe today is printing half a billion dollar notes, and you can hardly buy anything at all with a half-billion-dollar note. They have 1,000,000% inflation a year at the present time. The whole system is imploding. Certainly as Lenin had said, there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency. And not one person in 1,000,000 will understand what's happening. And I fear that most Americans have no idea what's really happening. As our Federal Reserve System, a privately owned central bank created for the benefit of the bankers to enrich the bankers, is, of course, doing exactly that. And they have 2 choices. They can either save the dollar or save the banks, and they've chosen to save the banks. Sacrifice, of course, the savings and the pensions of people all across America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest, of course, is Mark Angel. HelpYouOutOfDebt.com. That's HelpYouOutOfDebt.com. And if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or, of course, 464-8295. And, of course, we'd love to talk to you if you have a question. I'm sure Mark would as well. And I think it's vitally important that the American people begin to understand that we are in a financial crisis. And contrary to what most of our leaders are telling us, oh, it's just about over. Well, it's not just about over. We've got a long way to go. And before this is over, an awful lot of people are going to lose their homes, their jobs, their cars, their life savings. And we don't know whether they're going to take us into an inflationary spiral or not. But, of course, whatever happens, why, there are going to be some very, very serious problems in America. Well, certainly, Mark, as you're talking to people, other people in this business, do we have any idea how many people are actually have taken advantage of organizations like yours?
It's so young. There's not a lot of statistical information. I know during the course of, our existence or our team's existence, they've settled several $1 million worth of debt over the course of those 7 years, but statistically, right now, there's over $1 trillion in credit card debt out there with the consumers today.
$1 trillion in credit card debt. That's an awful lot of money. Now, how much of that, of course, is getting behind? How much of that do you think will be lost? Do you have any idea?
Well, you have to figure one-third of that every month, or about 50 million people pay off their credit cards every month. The other 100 million keep balances or the credit card's best customers, or revolving credit people who just either pay their minimum balances or slightly above their minimum balances, and then the balances grow. And like I said earlier, if they only pay the minimum balance, they can be paying as much as 8 to 9 times the original amount that they borrowed on their credit card debt. If in utilizing an example where there's their interest rate is 25% or greater by just paying 2% of the outstanding balance. So credit card companies back in the 70s knew exactly by design what they were doing. They had a very bright gentleman who convinced them, offer these low introductory rates, teaser rates, give people discounts, get them to utilize their credit cards, and they will come. It's kind of like the old...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, of course, is Mark Angel from HelpYouOutOfDebt.com. Mark, I would like you to get your telephone number and, of course, your website out there in case anybody would like to get in touch with you. And again, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Mark, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, I would love to hear from you. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Go right ahead, Mark.
Our website is HelpYouOutOfDebt.com. That's the name of our company as well, HelpYouOutOfDebt.com. We do have agents available this evening if anybody would like to talk to them about their circumstances. Our toll-free number is 866-374-3101. Again, 1-866-374-3101. There are people standing by to take your calls right now, and I'd be happy to answer any questions or talk about anybody's particular situation by calling into Dr. Stan's program.
All right. Well, I think the problem is that so many people have actually, got snookered into this. After all, certainly there were so many inducements were given to people to take out a credit card. Why, of course, you got free miles on your favorite airline. You actually got, if you had a gold card or a platinum card, why, you just got, free insurance. You didn't have to, if you rented a car, you didn't have to buy automobile insurance. It picked the cost of that up. And so all of these inducements were there to get you in. The problem was that once you got in, why, of course, you were trapped. And unfortunately, an awful lot of people out there have real problems. They've got head over heels, and of course, everything is built upon, you know, credit. And credit, you know, it sounds like it's so wonderful. But I remember when I was growing up, my parents would not buy anything on credit. If they couldn't afford it, they didn't buy it. The only thing they bought on credit was their house, and we had a nice little house where I was raised, cost $3,000. That house today, it probably cost $100,000. Because, of course, what they've done is intentionally and purposely destroy the value of our currency. They knew what they were doing. In fact, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, it's well worthwhile reading. And there, of course, we quote a man named Edward Bellamy, who back in 1881-82 wrote a book called Looking Backwards, anticipating what the world was going to be like in the year 2000. And what he wrote in 1880, and remember, of course, Bellamy was part of this whole movement. He was the founder of the modern-day socialist movement in the United States. And I believe, of course, he was a member of the Brotherhood of Darkness and was channeling much of the story that he wrote. But he talked about how, you know, in the future, and this would be in the year 2000, a credit card would be just as good as gold in Europe. A credit card in Europe would be just as good as gold. In 1880, they were already planning on exactly what they're doing today, that has enslaved so many people. Well, we've got Robert calling from Washington. Yeah. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Robert, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, hey, I just want to applaud you for what you're doing. I think it's a fantastic ministry. And I wanted to tell you a story about my credit card, what I've been doing with my credit cards.
All right, fine. What have you been doing with your credit cards?
Well,
I hope you've been tearing them up and cutting them
up
in pieces.
Not quite, actually. I'm getting a little reverse, whatever you want to call it, on the credit card companies. You may not agree with it or not, but I'll tell you and let you have some dialogue here. For years, they'd sent me solicitations, and I just typically just tore them up. I have a credit card, and I pay it off every month, but I got an idea one day to go ahead and take them up on all their good offers because, you know, let's face it, if you're disciplined enough, they are really good offers. And a lot of them are 0% for, you know, a year. So I said, okay, you guys want to give me the solicitations, and I took them up, and I ran up about $85,000 in credit card debt for a year, anywhere from 6 months to a year. And then I just put it into a CD last spring. You know, they were about 5.5% to 6%. And then I let it sit there anywhere from a couple different CDs for 6 to 12 months and made about $4,500 interest and paid them back with their own money.
All right. What do you think about that, Mark? Can you actually do that sort of thing with credit cards?
You can certainly do it, and many people do take advantage of those things, saying, I can get free money and I can invest those funds, and I'm going to make a few bucks on the credit card company. But like anything else, that takes good discipline.
Now, of course, I thought that you actually had to pay the interest every month, and certainly I know that some of that interest.
You have to make specific payments. There are minimum payments, and I think your guest this evening will admit that along the way he had to make minimum payments along the way, and sounds like he tracked that stuff very specifically. But there are a lot of people who have those temptations and have used those same dollars or programs to invest in real estate or the stock market. And as we both know, over the course of the last almost 12 months, that both those sides of the equation have been very volatile. So if you're very prudent and track this stuff, as your listener says he has, he's made a few dollars. I could give you stories of people who have come to us who have done just the opposite. They speculated in the real estate market, maybe used funds from the credit cards to use as down payments on their home, or utilized the monies to make the payments on an investment property in the hopes of gaining these grandiose rewards of real estate prices going on right now. But there's for every one of stories like him, I could probably show him 8 or 9 that are just the opposite, because they utilized that it to speculate in the market and lost.
And, of course, I think that, Robert, you are to be congratulated for having the discipline not, of course, to take that money and speculate with it. The problem that with so many people have is that they're motivated, first of all, by greed, and then, of course, when things turn against them, by fear. And this is really what mobilizes it, what runs the stock market is greed. And this is why we had the housing bubble, it was greed. And then, of course, right now we're in the fear aspect of it. But you're very fortunate that you had the personal discipline not to fall into the trap, that you were not trying to make a fortune. You made a little bit of money, but that old adage, you know, hogs get a little, pardon me, bears get a little, and bulls get a little, but hogs get nothing, and you certainly weren't a hog.
Well, I would have to concur with your guest about discipline, and it definitely is not something I would recommend doing unless you have the discipline. But I'll tell you what, I've read a lot of books you recommended, Dr. Stan, and Creature from Jekyll Island, and I felt like I was doing my own miniature Creature from Jekyll Island. I was creating money out of nothing, and I wasn't getting rich or anything. But for me, the satisfaction of taking their money and beating them at their own game was as rewarding to me as was the money itself. So, but I wouldn't recommend it for everybody. It definitely isn't. So.
All right, fine. Well, thank you very much. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, I want to tell you, I got the book. The one by Clinton's mentor.
Oh, Carol Quigley, Professor Quigley. Right. What do you think of that book?
Well, I got it. My dad has a library, and he's got a lot of those books, and I ran across it. And I said, I've been looking for 1,500-page book. Now I've got to read it.
All right. Fine. I think you'll learn so much from reading that book. Now, remember, he was part of the elite, but he was in total sympathy with them. He recognized the conspiracy that's there, and he thought it was great because we common people really are incapable of ruling ourselves, and that is the attitude of the elite. But, of course, his one problem was he wanted the public to know what was really going on. And, of course, the last thing the people on the other side want is for the public to find out how they're being exploited and being controlled. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Robert. After you get a book read, why, give us a call back and let us know what you think.
Okay, doctor. So
thanks,
right.
Robert.
All right, thank you, too. Bye-bye. Let's go to Jan, who's calling from Santa Ana. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Jan. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Okay, my question is, I got myself in this situation because I had I wasn't working full-time, so I had to max out my credit cards. I am back at work full-time now, but I got a letter from my credit card company that they're going to double my rate because I've maxed because of my spending. And what can I do?
What can she do? First of all, how much debt do you have, Jan?
I have about $25,000.
All right, fine. What are your thoughts on that, Mark?
Well, Jan, what's happened is they've used the mechanism within your agreement against you. You are hardworking. You're trying to survive. You're back in the working world right now, and again, you know, you have the choices that I laid out earlier. You could seek bankruptcy, but it sounds like you've gotten yourself back on track as far as your work record is concerned.
Right.
You could go into credit counseling. That's not going to do anything to help you alleviate the debt. You can stay the course, and your rates have doubled. I don't know. Do you know what rate you're going to be at when?
No, I got so scared of it. I didn't open it again, and I'm not at my home, so I don't have that information.
So, I mean,
but it's like
stay the course 25%. And make the minimum payments, or try and make a little bit more. But you know, $25,000. I used the example earlier this evening. If you're at 25% on $10,000 and you don't charge anything else on it, you just take that $25,000 and you use their minimum payment, provided they're going to allow you a 2% minimum payment. And on $10,000, you're going to be in there for the next 30 years and pay back on $10,000, $97,000. In your case, you multiply 97 times 2.5. And that's what you're going to be paying back on your $25,000. Or you can go into a program such as ours.
Which is $242,000. I multiplied it. It's $242,000.
Yeah, it's a big number. If it's like I said, at 25%, that may not be the case. So that that number may be a little bit smaller than what I'm stating to you. But you're going to be, if you pay, make that minimum payment, you're going to be in it for the next 25 to 30 years. Or you can come to us. We'll work with you. We'll act as your mediator between yourself and a credit card company. We'll try and get your debt negotiated down between 40 to 60 cents on the dollar from what's out there right now on your behalf, and we'll have you totally out of debt within the next 12 to 36 months, depending upon what you're comfortable with as far as putting aside in a savings plan to remedy the situation.
Okay, Mark, I'm going to call your company right now. Can I get your number again?
Sure. It's 866-374-3101, or you can go to our website and check us out. I implore all you listeners, look at our website. There's a lot of information out there regarding about what we do and what your options are. You can go in under the cost of debt. There's a little calculator in there. You can take your balances and put your current balances in and put your current interest rates and whether you're paying 2% or what your payment is, and it'll show you graphically how long and how much interest you're going to pay over the course of the stuff so you can get an idea of what's there. When you enroll in our programs, we're going to work at, you know, you'll find that the money that you're putting into a savings plan may be half or even less than half of what you're putting out monthly right now. There'll be sufficient money that we put on the trust side to negotiate your debt down and have you debt-free in 12 to 36 months, depending upon what works best in your circumstances as to what we can sock away for you.
Okay, fine.
No come out paying less.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to John calling from Huntington Beach. Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good evening, John. How are you?
I'm doing excellent.
Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. No, my question to you is, I mean, I've been listening to your program, and I really feel like this is something that I need, necessity. But can anyone qualify for this? What goes into that?
Well, essentially, number one, I can only settle unsecured debts, credit cards, unsecured debts, medical collections, those types of situations. So they would have to qualify under those circumstances. And you would have to be employed. You have to have the ability to work and save money and put it into a program and work with us, and we'll be able to work with you to help you get out from under the situation that you're in right now. And everybody's situation is a little different. I know personally myself, I can go back 10 years ago when I was previously married, and I had my former wife ran up $100,000 in credit card company, and my choices at that time was to file bankruptcy, stay the course, or at that time I ended up working three jobs just to keep things afloat. And fortunately, I had owned a piece of property that was growing in value. I was able to refinance it under the old terms of stated income. Well, those days are over. You can't state your income anymore. And I know what it's like to not sleep at night, to have that gnawing feeling in your stomach. And, you know, this is an option for you to look at, as well as the others I explained this evening, to do it. You can call our people, our debt specialists, on the phone. We'll analyze your situation. We take no money up front. We give you a free analysis, you know, to take a look at your situation, and we'll evaluate whether you can qualify in our program. There's no obligation. You don't write me any check for me to do that. Just take 5, 10, 15 minutes to sit down and talk with one of our debt specialists on the phone. Get us your statements. We go in there. We qualify you. We have underwriters that review the file, and we'll tell you within 24 hours whether we can get you into a program that will work for you.
Okay,
but
fine.
First up is don't crawl under a rock. Pick up the phone and call.
Anything else, John?
No, that'll do it.
All right, thanks very much. And let's go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Good, Dr.
Evening, Jack. How are you tonight?
Well, very well, thank you. Back around 1990, a friend of mine gave me a report from a group called the AWARE Group. And they did an extensive analysis of the loan agreement process, and they cited Federal Reserve banking regulations and uniform commercial code sites. What they said is that loan institutions are prohibited from loaning from their own assets or those of their client customers.
Okay.
So my question to you, who is the source of the funds that actually funds the loan when someone contracts for a loan, whether it's credit card or anything else? And then secondly, when I scoped out
Let's get the first question answered. Of course, the thing is that I think you well know that the banks and the credit card companies, credit card, creates money out of nothing, and then, of course, they have the audacity to charge you interest on it, sometimes up to 25 or even 30% interest on money they created out of nothing. That's the greatest scam in the world, isn't it?
Well, essentially, banks use their deposits money or they use borrowed funds.
Banks can create money out of nothing, though. That is, of course, the miracle of banking is the ability. You only have to have 10% on reserve. You can create the rest of it, and we're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, go ahead. Do you have anything else you want to ask, Jack?
Well, real quick, Dr. Stan, I just wanted to, augment what you said, because when I checked the checkbook on the signature line with a magnifying glass, you need about a 4 power. It says in miniature.matrix, authorized signature. So what I've discovered from this report is that according to the Uniform Commercial Code, whenever anyone pens their signature on the so-called dotted line that's invisible to the naked eye, because it spells authorized signature miniature.matrix, the contracting borrower is actually creating the funds according to the Uniform Commercial Code.
You're absolutely right. They create the money out of nothing. Hey, we're out of time, Jack, but thanks very much. You're absolutely right. Let's go to Anthony calling from Irvine. Anthony, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. I'm already having some issues with the creditors. How about like the harassing phone calls that you get?
Oh boy. What do you do about those, Mark?
Essentially, there are protections within the law that what we do when we enroll people into our programs, we send you out a welcome kit. You send letters out to the individual creditors or collection companies if you're at that point where you're getting those harassing phone calls to tell them to cease and desist, that you direct them on how they're going to correspond with you. We'll recommend that they put it in writing. We'll recommend that you have them contact us directly. There are several different ways that you are protected under the law as to how those companies have the ability to communicate with you. And as part of the program, our customer service people are there to guide you and get rid of those harassing phone calls within the scope of the consumer protection laws as to how creditors can contact you under those circumstances.
And they really do. They have a pattern of really sort of intimidating, don't you, with those phone calls.
Yeah, it can be very, very harassing, but they can call during specific times, but you could also specify to them that you only want them to contact you in writing. And once you've put them on notice, they have to abide by that. And we give you little logs to go with that, on the date that you sent out the letter, they have a certain period of time for them to comply.
And so basically they have a program to help you get away from those harassing phone calls, Anthony.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We're there. We are with our clients from the day that they enroll with us to the day, as we call it, graduate from our program.
All right, fine. We're out of time. Thank you very much, Anthony. Thank you very much, Mark. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good evening, Doctor.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Now, certainly, this is a company, apparently, it's one of my very, very good friends, David Wagner, recommended them to me, so certainly we presented the program for your interest and your interest. And if you want to follow through, why, that's up to you. Radio Liberty does get some compensation, though I have to let you know ahead of time, although it's not very much. But I really think it's a worthwhile program. Under any circumstances, we certainly suggest that you need to understand what's going on today. If I could suggest my talk, it's a DVD or video. It's called The Financial Tsunami. And it comes with a syllabus, and you can actually go through the syllabus, and you'll actually learn these various terms we're talking about, you know, derivatives, what they mean, the carry trade, and certainly you'll learn what M1, M2, M3 are, and why the government doesn't want to publish M3 figures anymore. Incidentally, there's an article recently, a talk given by a fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, and in that talk he was actually admitting that the M3 figure, at least according to private analysts, is about 17%. Well, actually, it's about 18% at the present time, but what that suggests is we're going to have 18%, 15 to 18% inflation by the end of this year, the first of next year. Totally destructive as far as the value of everything you've worked your whole life for. So let me suggest my talk on the financial tsunami with the syllabus, the little pamphlets that we published from Radio Liberty newsletters, the history of money, and the financial meltdown. The book, which, of course, we had a caller earlier say that he'd read, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island, a very important book. A little book called The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton. That's The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. And finally, the book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France, which is really the story of what happened in France when they went to a fiat money system in 1789. Because if you don't understand history, you can't understand anything that's going on today. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. Why? Because it takes you into the spiritual forces behind everything going on today. You have to understand that there are powerful supernatural forces that play in our society. And if you don't believe in the supernatural, you can't believe in Christianity. Christianity is full of supernatural things. After all, our Lord was able to raise people from the dead. He was actually to raise himself from the dead. He was able to materialize in a locked room and walk on water. And these are all supernatural things. Well, believe me, there are supernatural forces on the other side as well. And so we do hope that many of you will want to get my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, I think a talk that actually ties things fairly well together. And that is called The Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret, and you'll want to get the syllabus that goes with that. And then you'll want to get my talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. Because there we actually give you some of the writings that have been put forward by the people on the other side, and they tell you exactly what they're doing. They tell you that they have agents planted in the financial industry, you know, on both sides, both the East and the West. They're talking about communism and of course, the Western world. And you must understand that they're all controlled by the same people. That's why the United States is doing everything they can today to build up communist China, to fund communist China. We actually give our corporations that move to communist China and take jobs out of America, we give them special tax breaks. Why would you do something like that? Why would you encourage people to move their manufacturing facilities offshore, taking away American jobs? And well, very, very simply, because you have to understand that nothing is that appears to be. And, of course, there is this supernatural realm. We have financed communism since its inception. If you haven't read my little pamphlet entitled The Communist Capitalist Conspiracy, we recommend that, The Communist Capitalist Conspiracy. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then we ask you to pray for America and, of course, to pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and our protection. We'll be back in just a moment here for the next hour right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for this next hour, they're going to be those of Michaeleen Fredenberg. Did I pronounce your name correctly, Michaeleen?
Yes.
All right, fine. And she's written a book already going into the background of one of the major problems we have in America today, and that is, of course, the problem of abortion and, of course, what happens. The people have gone through this experience, and so why don't you pick up this story? How did you happen to write the book? And really, of course, is this a real problem in America today?
Well, I had decided to write the book for a number of reasons. One grows out of my own personal experience. I had an abortion when I was 18, and at the time felt that I could just erase my pregnancy and move on with my life, and I wasn't able to do that. But as I finally came to a place a couple years after that experience and trying to deal with the overwhelming emotions of grief and loss and guilt, began to think about all the others who may be sitting silent and alone, also having difficulty after their abortion, whether it was the woman involved or her partner, or perhaps a family member like a grandparent or a sibling, and wanted to create a space for them to know that they're not alone and that there's healing resources available for them.
Well, of course, I think that, you know, so many of our young people, they're being taught, you know, it's a simple solution. You've got a problem, you're pregnant, you don't want to get married, or you can't get married, or you want to get on with your life. And simply, it's really just nothing. It's just a little tiny procedure, and it's not going to influence you at all. And yet, of course, that really isn't true at all, is it?
No, it certainly isn't. I know from my own experience, as well as all the other men and women who have shared their stories with me, that whether it's immediately after the abortion, or sometimes it's not even till years or decades later, they begin to really come to terms with the loss of a family member and then what all of that means. In later years, they often begin to have different feelings about that. Perhaps they're married now and having children, and they begin to realize that they should have another child, and then begin to really worry about how their girlfriend, their ex-girlfriend, is doing, and they can start to have some tremendous guilt about that.
And, of course, I really think this is a problem that most people don't even like to think about. Well, but they should think about it. I think this should be something that's taught in our schools, but it is not going to be taught in our schools, because the purpose of our education is to convince girls it's all right to have an abortion. They're encouraged to have sex outside of marriage, and then they're encouraged to have abortions. What a wonderful solution. Well, Michaeleen, certainly, now, of course, you tell a lot of stories in your book, don't you, about what you've been told by other people?
Yes, I do. And really the purpose for that, twofold. For someone who has experienced an abortion or for someone close to them, I think it's really important for them to know that they're not alone in the feelings that they have. And then for someone who maybe wants to be a support for somebody else, I think the stories help them to get a picture of what it might be like. And certainly each of the stories are varied and unique, from, you know, the young man who wanted to keep his relationship together with his girlfriend and so went along with the abortion, and that relationship fell apart after a couple years, and then he carries tremendous guilt about that, to a grandfather who watches his wife mourn every year about around the anniversary of his daughter's abortion.
And, of course, did the grandmother actually then encourage the abortion, or what?
No, in this case, and certainly, it certainly varies, but in the story that was shared with me, the daughter had shared with the parents that she had become pregnant in college, actually by her professor. And the parents did everything they could to support her and, in fact, made it known that they would be there to help her if she would like to carry this child to term. And that's really what they were hoping she would do. But she made a different choice. And so the grandparents now are left with the loss of that child. The grandfather also shared with me how they've seen how their daughter's been impacted, and that grieves them greatly. But it's very difficult for them to bring the subject up because they don't want to cause her any harm. And although this doesn't certainly always happen, but in this case, their daughter has not married and has not had any additional children, and it looks like she won't. And so they now also grieve the fact that they may never be grandparents.
Well, of course, you know, I've heard it said that if you've had a therapeutic abortion, many times you'll have difficulty getting pregnant after that when you do get married and want to have children. Did you run into that at all?
Well, we know from the limited studies that have been done that there's certainly the greater risk for miscarriage or even infertility after after a pregnancy termination, and in particular if the woman has had more than one. And you can only imagine that in that case, if somebody has had an abortion and then later on they're trying to get pregnant, the type of emotions that they deal with, or if they have a miscarriage, they will often feel that they're being...
Hold that. So we'll be back in just a moment. And of course, we were just talking about the problem that some women will have. After they've had an abortion, then, of course, ever carrying a pregnancy to term, some women can have an abortion and not have any problems afterwards, although there's always that feeling of guilt. But some of them, apparently, for some reason or other, have a much higher incidence of miscarriage. That was what I was referring to. And how do you feel about that, Michelle? Is that, Michaeline, is that actually a problem, or is that simply an old wives' tale?
No, we certainly know from, you know, from some of the studies that have been done that, that there is a correlation between abortion and future miscarriage or infertility for women. And certainly in that case, the women then not only are grieving the first loss of the abortion, but then any subsequent losses through miscarriage, and often feel that they're being punished or that they've caused this. I had a young woman write into me recently who, at this point, she doesn't know if she's going to have problems conceiving, but she's been married for a couple years, and they haven't conceived yet, and she said that she's terrified. She's absolutely terrified that either she won't be able to get pregnant, or if she does, that something is going to happen to that baby, either in utero or as a child. And that's something I can really relate to. When I was married after the abortion, that's something that I had that fear for a while, and I can certainly relate to that.
Well, I think that this is just such really a great human tragedy. Of course, abortion's been around for since the beginning of society. But here in America, certainly in the years past, everything was frowned on, abortion. And then, of course, we became a more liberal, more tolerant society. And I can remember in the mid-1960s when this whole thing came about, and of course Roe versus Wade, and these ideas of, well, there's a changing morality, and of course there's nothing to it. You simply have a little surgical procedure, and that's the end of it. But of course they did not tell the girls, you know, about all the psychological problems and certainly the possibility of severe complications. But I think the major thing is psychologically what happens to the girls afterwards. Do you want to tell some more of the stories that you tell there in the book, which are really very touching?
Absolutely. Well, a young woman who comes to mind, I call her Alex in the book, and she was someone who would have identified herself as pro-life. Her mother had had an abortion, and then her sister did, and both of those impacted her dramatically, and that's where her stand against abortion came from. She felt that she just couldn't understand how anyone could do that because of the family members that she had lost. But when she was engaged, she became pregnant, and her fiancé demanded that she have an abortion. She resisted, but he continued to demand that she have this abortion. He wasn't ready. They weren't ready. He wanted to wait until after they were married and they were established. And at some point, she was worn down and ended up having the abortion to save the relationship. As you can imagine, that relationship, though, did not last for very long afterwards. And she had great difficulties with it, the guilt that she felt over the loss of this child, because, as she told me, she knew exactly what she was doing. And then to think that she had done this to save her relationship, and the relationship was now over. And she began to, she didn't want to be alone, and would spend more and more time socializing and with her friends, and that grew into, for her, overspending and a debt problem. Really, the whole way that she viewed herself was so shaken to the core that it was very difficult for herself to move forward. But she felt that she deserved to suffer this way because of the decision that she had made. It was only when we ran into each other in a chance meeting and she overheard me telling my experience that she began to think that perhaps healing was available for her. And she realized, as we were talking, just the number of losses for her, the loss of her child, the loss of her relationship, in a sense, the loss of her innocence, the loss of her, and the violation of her core values, as well as the loss of a brother or sister or a niece or nephew. And so, I mean, all of those losses together were something that she's now working through those one by one to come to a place of healing in her life.
Well, this is really one of the great human tragedies we're seeing so much of, and certainly when the boyfriend, of course, pressures the girl to have an abortion. Why, of course, many times most of those relationships break up, don't they, at least in your experience?
We certainly, and we know that with other reproductive losses as well, whether they're through miscarriage or stillbirth, that often relationships do not last that loss. And abortion is no exception, and in fact would be more complicated, because in this case they chose that loss. And as each partner is trying to deal with it, typically the other isn't a safe place to come to. Usually when we have a loss, we reach out to those that we love, our family, our friends, our husband, our boyfriend or girlfriend. But in this case, it's often difficult to do that because they had participated in the decision. And of course, I've mentioned in this case with Alex's fiance, you know, he really pushed her to have that, but I've heard from so many men where they have encouraged their girlfriend or their wife to carry the child to term, but she has made a different decision. Sometimes the wife will tell, I think of a young man who called me, and he had just found out that his wife had had an abortion, and she hadn't even told him that he was pregnant. And he was just reeling from the betrayal and, just the dismantling of trust in their relationship, as well as the loss of this child, and was trying to grapple with what to do because they had another child. So he wanted to keep the marriage together for the sake of that child, but didn't know how he could move forward after his wife had done this.
Well, how did he move forward? I mean, what do you do? How do you overcome something like this and that loss of trust?
Well, unfortunately, I don't know the end of his story, but I can certainly say, just in general, that, I mean, certainly you can imagine that he had a very difficult task ahead of him, unless his wife came to a place of recognizing that, you know, what she had done was, you know, so traumatic and hurtful in the relationship, so that she would work with him to repair that breach of trust. It would be very difficult for them to move forward. And in that case, certainly, I mean, I had recommended, you know, absolute counsel for this couple. They would need some professional assistance to try to maneuver through through all of this to try to find a place where they could, or he could, forgive her in this case, and then could begin to rebuild their relationship, if nothing else, for the sake of their other child.
Well, there's just so many human tragedies out there, and so many of them do involve, of course, abortion in one form or another. And, Sydney, how did you work through your problem? You know, because I'm sure this must have pained you a great deal personally when, you know, you began to realize the implications of what you'd done.
Yes, and for me, it happened immediately, which certainly isn't always the case. For many women, because the pregnancy becomes a crisis, they feel relieved right after the abortion. It's only in the months or years later that they may begin to have different emotions that are troubling. But for me, even in the clinic, I just realized if I had waited another 7 months, I would have had a child. And the realization that I had participated in the ending of the life of my own child, I don't know why that didn't occur to me before, but it didn't. But when it did, it was too late. It was after the fact. And those emotions were so overwhelming. I immediately moved out from, I was living with my boyfriend, and I moved out. He was a painful reminder of what we had participated in. And I even, after a couple months, made a desperate move from the Midwest all the way out to Hawaii, thinking that a fresh start might help me. But it certainly didn't. I kept my feelings inside. I didn't know anybody else who was feeling this way. And I had really, as I mentioned, thought that an abortion erases a pregnancy, and therefore I shouldn't even be having these emotions. It wasn't until I developed an eating disorder and then began to think of hurting myself that I finally was desperate enough to reach out for help. And I fortunately, I found an after-abortion healing resource, and I mean, I was relieved to know that I wasn't alone and that I was having a normal reaction to what is abnormal. And with the assistance of this group, as well as some professional counseling because of the eating disorder, I was able to slowly begin to come to a place where I could look at the truth of what had happened and be able to forgive myself and the others involved, and grieve the loss of that child, and be able to move forward with some sense of wholeness.
All right, fine. Well, our guest, of course, is Michaeline Friedenberg, and, of course, she's written a book. It's titled, it's Changed, isn't that the title?
Yes, it is.
Changed, and, of course, how can people get hold of your book?
Mm-hmm. They can order it, of course, on Amazon, or they could go to changedbook.com, and they can order it straight from there. Also, they could call 877-325-HEAL. That's 877-325-HEAL.
What's that last word?
HEAL. H-E-A-L.
HEAL. H-E-A-L. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Michaeline, certainly, it's you've obviously talked to a great number of people who've been through this experience, a traumatic experience for women, a traumatic experience for men. Do you look back on this and, did you have any counseling before you had the abortion? In other words, did they make any effort, of course, to give you an informed consent, the implications of what you were doing, or was it simply, give us the money and we'll go ahead and do it?
To be honest, I don't remember a lot about that day. I do know that I did meet with somebody who talked to me a bit about the procedure itself, and I think she asked me some questions about why I was choosing to do this. I know at that point I really just wanted it to be over, so I don't really know if I even gave her the opening to talk to me anymore about it. And I mean, I find that's pretty common. I mean, this time together happened on the day of the procedure, rather than, you know, typically when you're going in for some sort of a surgical procedure, you would have that type of counsel, unless it was an emergency, you would have that type of counsel, you know, days or maybe weeks before you actually underwent the procedure so that you had time to think through everything. And I'm certain that must go on maybe in individual doctor's offices, but in general, usually a woman would go in and have the session of talking about the procedure on the same day that she would actually undergo the procedure.
Well, have you run into any of the people who run these pro-life clinics, certainly abortion counseling clinics, you know, of course, where they have the ultrasound machine, where they try to counsel women about the problems with this? Certainly, I know you didn't have that opportunity for yourself, but have you run into some of the people who work with us, people who have actually gone through this counseling and decided to keep the children, mainly because they were encouraged by people who said, you know, you don't understand the implications of what you're doing, and of course the horrible complications down the line. We certainly have a very, very active pro-life movement in the United States, and have you run into these people at all?
I have, and I have great respect for the pregnancy care centers and the information and the support that they give, and having I think creating a space where somebody can come in a difficult situation and be able to actually talk through all of their options in freedom and try to think through what each of them will be like in the days and months and years down the line. And certainly that's very important. And I am aware that a number of them, because we have them listed on our website, abortionchangesyou.com, do sometimes offer after-abortion healing resources for those who stand after that decision and have made the decision to have an abortion, but they do offer services for them. And I think what's so important about these after-abortion healing resources is that they acknowledge that a loss happened. And in our culture right now, in general, we don't acknowledge that a loss has occurred in an abortion. And often there are many losses that occur as well, if there's loss of relationship or if the parents had pressured their young teenage daughter to have an abortion, there can be a breach in that relationship as well. But just...
Hold that thought, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michaeline Friedenberg, her book, Changed. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Michaeline, of course, talks about the traumatic influence of an abortion on the life of a woman, the life of men. We have 50 million abortions, pretty close to that, here in the United States. It's Roe versus Wade. We've killed so many children, now we have to allow a lot of illegal immigrants in to do the jobs which would have been done by the young men and women who were slaughtered in the abortion mills across America. Michaeline's been through this experience herself, and of course she is writing a book too, for people who've gone through an abortion so that they will know that they are not alone. Now, you do have a website. Do you have any suggestions or advice or things that people can do that you offer them on the website?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, in both the website and the book. And I think if you had brought up the statistics, which are very important, because right now we're told that 1 out of 3 women, by the time they're 45, if the abortion rates continue the way they are, will have had an abortion. So when you think of that number of women and then the men involved, as well as the aunts, uncles, the grandparents, other family members and friends, we now are at a time where it's rare not to know someone close to us who has had an abortion. And that's another reason why I felt it so important to write the book, Changed, as well as to offer some services over the web at abortionchangesyou.com. So in addition to reading other stories, maybe finding your kind of your own story in there or gaining a better understanding of where someone is coming from, I do have suggestions that we call healing pathways, and this is based on a grief and loss healing model. So some suggestions of how to begin that healing process. you know, telling your story is very important, and not needing necessarily telling it to somebody else, but having a way to write it out, to draw it out, to validate that your experience is real, your loss is real, your emotions are real. And then if you're having trouble either identifying your emotions, or maybe you feel overwhelmed by the intensity of a number of emotions that maybe sometimes swing all the way from things that are positive to things that are very hurtful, or you feel despairing, how do you begin to identify those emotions and untangle them and begin to work through them? And so there's interactive content and suggestions in both the book and the website to help you to move through that process.
All right, fine. Well, the telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're somebody out there who, of course, has any question or comment about this, because this is a very real human problem which so many of our people are having today. With 50 million abortions in America since 1973, and the figure, one in every three women, certainly by the time they're 45, will have had an abortion, and all of them, or almost all of them, will have a feeling of guilt. Well, there's some people who never have any problem at all, just go through this and never give it a thought. Or do you think that all, or almost all, down the line, are going to have that haunting, haunted feeling that they've done something seriously wrong?
Well, certainly everyone's experience is unique, but I have yet to run into anyone who was very closely involved with the abortion that doesn't have some feelings about it. I mean, I think in specific, someone who had told me recently that they, you know, they still felt that the abortion was the best thing for them to do at the time, the best solution to their situation, but then mentioned to me how old their child would be, and something that they mentioned to me with sadness. And, you know, and I think that sometimes isn't unusual for those two things to reside in someone, to maybe still be thinking this was the best thing, but on the other hand, to be in touch with the reality that there would be a child, there would be a person now, maybe an adult. And so I believe that for certainly the vast majority of those who are involved, that they are changed by the experience, and they wouldn't identify it as a positive change.
And of course, today, so many of our young people think that sex is something that simply is just sort of a lots of fun and just it's simply a pastime event. But it isn't. I mean, it's a very real experience, and of course the purpose of sex is to have children, and sometimes no matter what you do, why, of course, the girl is going to become pregnant, and then we, of course, have this terrible, terrible situation result. What's she going to do? Maybe she doesn't love the boy, or maybe she does love the boy, he doesn't want the child, and then, of course, the family pressures are there, too. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michaeline Friedenberg. You've run into many women who've done everything they could to conceal this from their family, from their boyfriend, from everybody else, and of course, thinking they're going to be able to get away with this and nobody will ever know?
Well, I think most abortions are still done in secret right now, whether it's something that the woman just keeps to herself or maybe her partner knows about this as well. And that's something that complicates dealing with the losses involved with the abortion, because certainly when we go through other losses in our lives, we instinctively reach out to our family members and friends to talk to them, they will offer us support and then kind of walk that journey with us. Where in this case, often women, because they've kept this a secret or because the couple has kept it a secret, that's something that they don't have. And they keep those feelings to themselves rather than having a support system to help them to deal with this loss. And we find the same thing happens within family units as well, a woman wrote in to us recently who said that her sister had had an abortion years ago, and the sister does not realize that she knows about it, but she had found out and then didn't say anything to her sister. And she said that at her mother's house, there's you know, a ledge where the grandmother proudly has displayed all the grandchildren, pictures of them. And when she goes to her house and looks at her mom's picture of her grandchildren, she always has this twinge in her heart. She knows that there should be one more. And then thinks about her sister and worries about her sister because she's seen changes in her since that abortion occurred. But she said that it wasn't until recently, actually, when she had heard me talking about the book on a radio program, that she suddenly became in touch with the fact that this pains her very much. When she looks at those pictures, she's also thinking of the niece or nephew that she doesn't have, and that she longs to have that child there to be able to do the things that aunts do for them, and that she mourns that loss. But yet she keeps her grief a secret because the sister doesn't know that she knows, and she doesn't want to bring it up and cause her any more harm, and that out of respect for her sister, she doesn't share that with the rest of the family. And instead, she carries that with her silently.
Well, and, of course, the last thing you want is not to be able to tell your parents or your family, the truth. We'll be back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Michaeleen Friedenberg, the book Changed. And, of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we're talking about the tragedy of abortion, not only the tragedy of a lost human life, because I believe every human being is a unique creature, a unique being made in the image and likeness of God, but the impact this has on the woman, if not now, in future years, and the impact it has on the men, the impact it has on the family, and everyone to know that this child will never be born. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Michaeleen, would you like once again to get out your website, to get out, of course, the place where people can actually get copies of the book?
Yes, thank you. The book can be purchased on Amazon, and the main title is Changed, and the subtitle is Making Sense of Your Own or a Loved One's Abortion Experience. They can also be purchased off of changedbook.com. That's changedbook.com, or by calling 877-325-HEAL. That's 877-325, I think it's 4325. Also, there's a website, abortionchangesyou.com.
Well, now, I imagine you're doing a lot of talk radio. I know when I wrote my book, well, I did a lot of radio there. What sort of response are you getting from the listening audience?
Mm-hmm. I think actually something that has really touched me when callers call in, about two-thirds of them have been men who have shared their experience, either the abortion that their wife or their girlfriend had, or perhaps that their daughter did. And in each of the cases, as they're sharing their stories, they have expressed their gratitude that their experience and their feelings would be acknowledged, because that's something that they've carried alone and didn't really know that there were other men that were having similar experiences of feeling sadness or grief or guilt over a past abortion.
Well, I think it's such a great human tragedy, and of course there's so many of them here in America today, and it's really changing the entire complexion of our country. I believe legalizing abortion begins to erode the very soul of morality of a nation. So, unfortunately, you know, what we've done is not only we've changed the laws, but we've changed the outlook of our young women, and we've changed the outlook of our young people about sex, And I think this is a terrible thing. I think sex is something very intimate, very special, but it's not something you ought to be joking about, you know, with every other joke from the comedian in the evening. So, unfortunately, we're a nation, I believe, in moral decline. But I'd like to know what you out there in the listening audience say. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Very interesting. We've been doing some interviews with Peter Hammond, who just comes over from Africa, lives in Cape Town, South Africa. And, of course, I lived there in the mid-1970s. And South Africa was a moral country at those days. But as soon as the Marxist government that was installed there by the American State Department, why they began to legalize abortion and homosexuality, and they began to erode the very foundation of society, teaching sex education in our schools, but not a moral type of sex education, simply a hedonistic type, with, of course, never warning the young people about the terrible complications, and not only physical as far as sexually transmitted diseases, but emotional things, whether, of course, a woman becomes pregnant or not. There is a bonding when they participate in intimate activities with somebody else that is with them all the rest of their lives. And people don't understand this is not something casual. It is something of deep and eternal significance. Well, certainly, Michaeline, as you talk to other people, what about do many women call you on these radio programs you're doing and pour their hearts out?
Yeah, well, certainly women do call in, and women have been writing into us as well, emailing into us. And of course, it really varies. I think of a woman who called in, and she years ago had multiple abortions. And that was something so difficult for her, and she grieves over each of the lives of those children, but she also feels a lot of shame that, as she put it, that she didn't learn her lesson the first time, but that continued to have repeat abortions, and described how she kept feeling this great longing to have another child to fill the void. But she'd get pregnant, and her situation wouldn't be any different, and she'd end up having another abortion. And what she was describing, I have heard from many other women as well. In fact, we know that there's a high percentage, especially of young women, who will get pregnant within 1 year after they've had their first abortion. And typically, it's out of some sense of wanting to either fill the void that they felt was lost, or wanting to recreate a crisis and make a different choice, but often their circumstances haven't changed dramatically, and they will find themselves having another abortion, and so they then have multiple losses to deal with either at that point or later on in their lives. But I also find that they seem to really get stuck in the process because of the additional shame that they feel, and I think because, you know, culturally, whether someone identifies themselves or labels themselves as pro-life or pro-choice, people have a certain reaction when they hear that a woman has had two or three or four abortions, and they're aware of that, and that's very difficult for them, and makes it difficult for them to think of who would be safe to reach out to even confess this and begin to work through it, because they fear the reaction that they will receive.
Well, I'm sure this is a very real problem, and I think people do need they need to have a feeling, of course, they can be forgiven, even more than forgiving themselves. That I think most people have an idea that there is some sort of a God out there that, of course, is involved in what we do, at least if they have a religious background at all. I think they really need to understand they can be forgiven no matter what they've done. I think that would be the greatest solace. Have you explored that aspect of it at all?
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly know, I know myself personally, as well as when I'm speaking with other men and women, that they often identify that there is a spiritual component, and that I've heard from some, I remember a young woman saying that her, I think her boyfriend had suggested when they were having difficulty after an abortion that maybe they should go to church, that maybe that would help. And she said, oh, I'm sure that I've broken a commandment and that means that I can't go to church. In her case, she didn't understand that, you know, obviously that she was more than welcome, especially someone who was having this understanding and a desire for forgiveness. And also those who've had a faith background, they talk about how they feel that, you know, they have violated their relationship with God, and therefore that makes it very difficult for them to move forward because, in their words, they can't even say that they didn't know better. And that's how they describe it to me, and that becomes an obstacle for them with their faith. Some who just stop going to church, or others who maybe continue to go but sit silently in their own pain, feeling estranged every Sunday that they're there. So I certainly bring that up in the book Change, when we're talking about healing, the spiritual component, and how important that is to many people, and how that needs to be explored in its proper context. So therefore, reaching out to a priest or a pastor or a rabbi to talk through this with them, to help them in this respect, to find the type of peace and forgiveness that they're looking for.
All right, well, let's talk to Herman, who's calling in from Carmel. Hi, Herman, how are you doing?
Good evening. Thank you so much for having this guest on. I have read several books of people, Christians, who were taken to heaven, at least that's what they claimed, and they claimed that the children who were aborted were somehow kept there and would somehow be brought to term, or you know, that God has a special place for them.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, so just a comment from your guest.
All right, fine. Any thoughts at all about what Herman's saying?
I wasn't sure if I understood his
question. Well, he's been saying that, they, you know, of course, he's read books by people who say they've gone to heaven, and there, of course, were the souls of these aborted children that God, of course, had accepted and would spend eternity with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not a theologian, but certainly my understanding is that a child who's lost in an abortion is completely innocent, and therefore would be with God. And I know it's a great comfort and a great hope for many who have participated in an abortion that someday that there will be a reuniting.
And I think that's a very important point, Herman. I think that would really help in the healing of somebody who'd been through this experience and this tremendous guilt. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Just thank you so much for writing this book.
God,
I think it'll provide a lot of healing.
Well, I think there are a lot of people out there who really need that. We're talking about almost 50 million abortions in America. And, of course, it involves not only the girl, but her boyfriend and the families and the grandparents. And thank you so much. Bye-bye, Herman. And our telephone number, again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for Michaeleen, and, of course, she's written a book called Changed. And, of course, your attitude can be changed with an understanding that there are a lot of people who have gone through this, but there is forgiveness for sin. Fortunately, if there were not, why, most of us would be in real trouble and would be constantly, you know, feeling a guilt for the things we've done, because there's not one of us who has made a serious mistake sometime or other in the past, whether abortion or something else that we wish we'd done very, very differently. Well, Michaeleen, certainly, of course, you would be getting emails from people. Are there any more stories from the book that you think would be important to share with our listeners tonight?
It's in the second chapter, actually. Zach, I always like to bring, I call him Zach, I like to bring him up because he really was the final person at a moment about 5 years ago that I spoke with after the encounter with him that I really made a resolution to do something to help in him and all the others like him. And I had met Zach at an unusual place. It was in a body piercing tattoo parlor. And when he realized what my personal experience was, he began to share his story with me, which was very unexpected. And he told me about the girlfriend that he loved, and they became pregnant. And he wanted this relationship to last, and he wanted to have the child, but more than that, he wanted to do what would be best for his girlfriend. And she said that an abortion is what she wanted to have. And so he supported her in that, went to the abortion clinic with her, even though that was very difficult for him, and stayed with her afterwards, but they did not cope well. They had both been casual drug users, and they began to use drugs more frequently. After about 2 years, he realized that he was in great danger of becoming addicted and needed to withdraw himself from that. His girlfriend, however, would not, even though he pleaded with her to. Things became so bad for her that he had to eventually break up with her. And he told me just the tremendous guilt that he carried for the loss of his child, but also because of what had happened to his girlfriend. And certainly this was a more extreme reaction after an abortion, but it is something that does happen. And he said that he still tries to reach out to her to try to help her, but she does not want to talk to him about this. And as he was finishing his story, I thanked him, you know, that he would be willing to share something so painful and so personal with me. And he said, no, thank you. I can't talk to anybody about this. He said that when he tried to talk to his friends who favor abortion, that they denied his feelings and his experience. But he said he was also afraid to reach out to people who are against abortion. I think he feared judgment and condemnation. But he said that he could talk to me. And I left thinking about Zach and what he's gone through and what he's carried with him silently and alone for, you know, many years after the abortion, and thought about all the others who are like him and who sit in silence and who are afraid to reach out to others, and just thought that I wanted to at least offer something, a way to communicate that his experience is real and that he's not alone, and that there's a path out of that paralyzing guilt and grief that he feels right now, and that I know shared by so many others, whether they realize it as quickly as he does, or I think of all the other men and women who shared with me. I mean, sometimes there's a man who called into a show last week, and the abortion was 35 years ago, and he said for 30 years it didn't bother him. But 5 years ago, and he's not even sure why, he began to really think about it, to think about this child who would be an adult, probably with a family of their own. He'd be a grandparent. And then he also began to really think about the woman who had been involved and to worry about her. And he wishes that he could reach out to her and ask her forgiveness. So I just think of all those who in some way are impacted on some level, and I want them to know that they're not alone, and also that whether it's something they think about all the time or it's something that comes up occasionally on an anniversary, or when they hear maybe about abortion through, you know, the presidential campaigns or through the news, that there's a place for them to find peace and wholeness.
And I think, of course, there are many people who are actually very strongly pro-abortion, and of course it's because they've had an abortion, they're trying to justify it, they're saying it's perfectly all right, but we all have a conscience, we all have an awareness that there, I believe that there is a God, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, and of course, you know, I'm sure sometimes at nighttime or sometimes when they're alone, They realize, of course, what a terrible, terrible thing this is. But they cover it up by being militantly, of course, pro-abortion. But I think that many of them, of course, have a true aching in their hearts. Well, Michaeline, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for tonight, then I'll let you go. Do you live on the East Coast or the West Coast?
I'm on the West Coast. I'm in San Diego.
All right, fine. Well, of course, we're halfway up the state here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. You live in a beautiful part of my state as well, though San Diego is certainly one of my favorite cities. You have got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Oh, well, thank you. I think that I would just like to comment because I know that this is such a painful topic, and when I was writing this book, I really kept that in mind. I know it's difficult. It's difficult to look at the reality, whether it's because you have experienced or someone close to you has. And so the book is written in a way that it's written more as a conversation. It's not a book about abortion or a book telling you what it's like afterwards. It's a book for people who've been there or for people who want to understand what it's like and be a support. So it's written in a conversational fashion as if we're sitting together and I'm sharing some of my thoughts and I'm providing space to listen to where you're at.
And, of course, I think everybody has a strong feeling about this one way or the other, and some people are militantly pro-abortion. Some people are militantly against abortion, but whichever side you're on, there are tremendous human tragedies that are involved. And of course, what the book is an effort to alter people's outlook, which you say it would be to change their outlook about what had happened.
Well, I think, really, from my standpoint, this book, first of all, is a place that is set apart from the politics and labels and debate that surround abortion. It really seeks to meet people where they're at, and I think that those who are having some difficulty with a past experience, they know that, and this book it's for them. It's to help them, or as I said, maybe for those who have been fortunate enough not to have experienced an abortion or an abortion for someone close to them. But they wish to be a safe place or to have a better understanding and sensitivity. This book is for them as well.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you very much for certainly writing the book. I want to thank you very much for being available for our program this evening. Again, our guest has been Michaeline Friedenberg, and, of course, the book has changed. And, of course, it will hopefully, if you've been in this tragic situation, you'll be able to perhaps find healing in what she's written. God bless you, and thanks very much for being with us tonight, Michaeline.
Oh, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Michaeline. This is a great human tragedy, and of course, I believe, of course, the greatest counseling that can come with our personal relationship with the Lord and realizing that we are all sinners saved by grace, and without the Lord's help, why, none of us could possibly hope for forgiveness or any opportunity, of course, to be with God in the afterlife. But fortunately, recognizing that, God sent his Son to earth to die for our sins. That's a simple message of Christianity and a message, I think, which is a great consolation to people, of course, who have been involved in this tragic situation. Well, certainly we, of course, want to point out that we believe that there's a spiritual force, a very strong spiritual force at work here. There really is demonic forces that hate humanity, encourage abortion, encourage any perversion. Of course, it's in violation of God's laws. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on today really begins to make sense. And to put this into perspective, if you've not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, why you need to read it, and of course you need to help us get that message out across America. If you want to get the books and distribute them, fine. We certainly at a marked reduced price. If you want to, I certainly get the CDs. You can get those and get them out. You can go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and watch the Brotherhood of Darkness DVD. We have a lot of DVDs up there for you to watch to begin to get a grasp of what's going on. That's the www.radioliberty.com. And then, of course, to put things into the perspective, let me suggest several DVDs we carry. Now, of course, we can tell you about those we produced ourselves, being the Forbidden Secret and, the one on the planned police state. Both of them come with syllabuses, but we carry an excellent DVD. And it has really changed people's lives, put out by our good friend, Pastor Joe Schimmel. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. You can get the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of that. The DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And, of course, the sequel to that, Riddles in Stone, The Secret History of America's, the architecture of America's capital. And those will really give you an insight into what's going on and to the spiritual battle that's underway. And we really are involved today in the spiritual battle. Most people have no idea the battle is going on. Most people do not know there's an effort to capture the souls of men and drag them away from righteousness. And, of course, this is why we have sex education in our schools, why we are popularizing pornography, why America is the great exporter of pornography in the world, why America today is destroying the morals of people all throughout the world, and I really fear that one day God is going to bring his judgment on this nation. So you need to get an understanding and understanding what this is about. Again, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Again, my book or the DVD, The Brotherhood of Darkness, will tell you really what is going on because, of course, an understanding of the forces that shape the 20th century is predicated not upon facts to be learned, but upon secrets to be discovered. And that, of course, we will tell you the secret knowledge that's been passed down, the secrets that have been passed down for 5,000 years through the mystery religions and through the secret societies that manifest itself today in modern-day Masonry and Rosicrucians, in the Theosophists and the New Age movement, and certainly in so many of the organizations that work behind the scenes today, all part of what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, we hope that you want to get the talk on the planned police state, the DVD on Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone. You must understand the true nature of the battle we're engaged in, for it's a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Please pray for America and pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
We'll be right back. afternoon. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe, floating through the void of Yah's creation. It is Tuesday, the 27th of May, 2008. And, oh, man, I tell you. Well, I don't have to tell you. You already know. Your regular listeners out there know exactly what I'm talking about. When we ask the question, that magic question every single day, you know, what is it going to take? What is it going to take? Some black garbed, jack booted thug to kick in the door of Joe Blow America, machine gun his entire